Our scripture reading for the sermon is from Psalm 145. I'll be reading verses 14, 15, and 16. Receive this, the living and active word of the Lord. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Thus far, the reading of God's word, and all of God's children said.
Amen.
Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, according to your kindness and by the power of your Holy Spirit, bore out our ears and cause our hearts to be receptive to receive your word and to live lives according to your pleasure. Teach us this day of your ways and loosen our lips to praise you, for you are our God and King. We pray this through Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and the great shepherd of the sheep. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
You may be seated. It's a privilege to continue in the 145th Psalm, according to our scripture reading today, looking at verses 14, 15, and 16. This is a psalm of praise, and this psalm teaches us how we are to praise our God and King. From the beginning of this psalm to the end, praise is the mark. It is found in the title, and it is found in the last verse, and in every verse in between. This psalm is called David's Psalm, and while each of the psalms offers praise of the Lord, this is the only psalm with that title. That may be a bit of a surprise, a psalm of David. So let's join together and let's enter this psalm once again and hear the call to praise our God and King and be trained as to how to calibrate our lives according to our Lord's majesty. Verse 14, the Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. Our Lord is the one who provides for those who are broken down and for those who are in the process of being broken down. He is the Lord of life from beginning to end, from the title to the last verse, from birth to the end of our days. Our Lord, according to the tense of the verb, is the Lord upholding. His hands are strong and compassionate. He is the one who raises up those who are bowed down. This is visible. We are meant to see this. This is our Lord's testimony, and it is worthy of praise. Now, it's interesting to note that there is no mention at all of the cause of the falling or the stumbling or why is this person or that person bowed down. There's no mention of the cause of it at all. We tend to focus on, look, this is why they are bowed down. This is why they have stumbled. This is why they have fallen. The focus of these verses is not the cause of why someone is bowed down. The focus is more about the fact that some are bowed down and that our Lord's care is present for those who have stumbled, for those who need to be raised up. Stumbles and fallings occur throughout this life. And it is always the case that in our weaknesses, our Lord's strength and majesty are on display and calls forth our praise. In the 37th Psalm, David wrote, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his ways. And though he fall," note, falls are expected, "and though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand." Falls occur, but our Lord is faithful. In this, we see that our Lord protects his children. The 37th Psalm, by the way, was written by David when he was an older man. The very next verse in that psalm says this. David wrote, "I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread." Those few verses in the 37th Psalm show us the Lord's protection and his provision. Our passage today The Lord upholds, he protects all who fall. He raises up all who are bowed down, and then he provides. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Now, dear saints, providentially, this is the sermon that I was working on and intending to deliver to you near the end of November of last year. Having composed the introduction to this sermon, and in that introduction, I had put together a number of glorious examples of the Lord's upholding and lifting up. After finishing that, I left my office to head home. Departing the church that day, I did not think that I would be brought low that very evening, reduced in both strength and speech due to a stroke. Thankfully, the Lord has granted me a renewed and textured encounter with this passage. One could say, this passage is now underlined. So, dear saints, what I'd like to do now is to offer the introduction that I had prepared for that sermon. A number of vignettes, a number of stories, in which we are to see the Lord's testimony. And as we see the Lord's testimony, this trains us to praise our Lord. It is wondrous to behold an aged saint, one whose every breath is a testimony of our Lord's mercy, and for whom every step is a declaration of his praise. As I reflected upon the glorious testimony of our Lord, I reflected as well upon the testimony of our own Olive Alexander. Though this dear lady is no longer writing books or music, she is still a living epistle of our Lord's faithful support. And while she may not be able to join us in corporate worship or fellowship again, her testimony of our Lord's tender mercies are indelibly etched upon each one of us. To this very day, I recall her ready recitation of Scripture from memory, her singing of some of the hymns of our faith from memory, coming out of the surplus of her soul, for the Lord has been the one who has sustained her. I also thought of the aged Barzillai in 2 Samuel 19. Barzillai, a steadfast friend of King David, during the days when the king was brought low because of his own sins and the sins of his treasonous son, Absalom. Barzillai was 80 years of age and was both failing and faithful. Mentally, Barzillai was not as sharp as he once was, and he had lost both his senses of taste and hearing. Still, he remained steady, and he encouraged the king. I was also reminded, and I began to tap out, a bit of the testimony of one of my childhood pastors, a man and his wife who were marked both by frailty and faithfulness. He was my pastor during my high school and college years, and he was the pastor who actually signed my certificate of license for the gospel ministry in 1981. Still here. I would like to reflect upon one particular visit with this aged saint and his aged and lovely wife. Denise and I were engaged, and they wanted to meet my fiancé. We wanted to meet with them. They were the kind of couple from whom you could learn a great deal just by being with them. At the time of our visit, they had been married for more than 50 years. Their pace was slow, and this slow pace was both imposed and intentional. It was imposed upon them because of the years, and it was intentional due to failing strength. Their years had been many, and their memories, while likely fading, were many more. When they welcomed us into their home, they walked and they served as if they were reserving strength or maintaining their balance, for they were bowed down. Their lives were dramatically different now, quite different from the days when he first became my pastor. The demands from outside were few, and the demands from within their bodies were many. They had lived full lives, and by this time they had lived together many more years than they had ever lived apart. Together, now, they ambled steadily through these days, which were obviously their latter days, and were truly golden. Although bowed down a bit, they were beautifully one flesh. These days they did not get out much, nor did they desire to get out much. Instead, together, in their home, they received and experienced the gifts of minutes and hours and days. In their home, on this particular day of my recollection and our visit, they had invited us over for lunch and a visit. Upon arriving, greetings were given and aged hands were extended. The skin of their hands, sweetly seasoned due to the gift of years, had softened and thinned. Their touch was gentle, and the skin of their hands now seemed translucent, almost pierceable. The man had been my pastor during many formative years, and he went by the name of C.L. His wife provided a likeness of what I had then seen as a pastor's wife. She was gracious. She made their home lovely, peaceful, a sanctuary. The home breathed the welcoming calm. Her name was Marie. She made lunch, and I visited with my one-time pastor, whose eyesight was now dramatically reduced due to diabetes. He told me of a deep and daily heartache. These days, he could not read the Bible for himself because he did not have one with large enough print. We spoke of other things regarding the Bible and the church. During this time, my young fiancé visited with his mature wife. Soon, the aged pastor and I were invited to the lunch table. We sat and ate, the four of us. Those two who had been married for many years and us, yet to be married, joined together for a meal. After lunch, we sat in their living room. In that room, we talked. Actually, they talked to us. They spoke to us about marriage. Now seated, they were no longer wobbly. Now speaking, they were both sure and strong. They sat and spoke and loved and invested, and they did so with strength, and their message was one of strength. Here was the age speaking to the young. Then the hoary heads spoke. This was the mature speaking to the immature. And yes, I do remember much of what was said, but what left the greater impression to this day is more about who they were as they spoke and counseled and gave of themselves. Who were they? They were testimonies of our Lord's faithfulness. They were still serving, though now much slower and more deliberately. This couple had matured over the years, and they had matured together. The Lord had matured them through each other. They had a faithful marriage, and their testimony was not about them or their marriage. It was about the Lord who brought them together and sustained them over the years. They were the weak displaying His strength. They bore witness of our Lord doing this through the depths of trial and the heights of joy. The Lord granted them to share life in the midst of their youthful flushes and blushes of passion, all the way to these days of settled quiet. Then and there, I saw a glimpse of something lovely, desirable, what I wanted. They had walked together through the seasons of life, and the Lord had given them children and grandchildren. Their knees had seasons as well. Those same knees which had bounced little ones and bent in prayer were now frail and those knees were ascending upward, sticking upward toward the ceiling, poking up from their humble and seated positions in the living room. Their flesh revealed frailty, and yet their faith was as strong as ever because of the Lord who upholds and raises up. In that moment, and to this day, amidst the weakness of the body, the words of Asaph in Psalm 73 ring through, for they are true. Though my flesh and my heart fail, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The testimony of our Lord's upholding is not only of aged saints, C.L., Marie, Olive, and Barzillai. It is also true for each of us, each of you, for this is our Lord's testimony among you. Whatever your age, our Lord is the one who sustains you and holds you. In Luke 13, most beautifully, our Lord encountered a woman who had been literally bent over for 18 years. It was the Sabbath day, and our Lord was teaching in one of the synagogues, and he saw this woman. And what does he do? He speaks his word, and he touches her, and she stood upright. Beautiful. Lovely. This psalm, the 145th psalm, is a psalm of praise from beginning to end, from birth to the final breath. And as such, it teaches us what our lives should look like and sound like. In Hebrew, this psalm is an alphabetical psalm, each verse beginning with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This shows us that in every aspect and in every step of our lives, the Lord's praise ought to be present. For the praise of our God and King is our Aleph to Tav, our Alpha to the Omega, our A to Z. This psalm trains us to praise our Lord for his care for us, for one another, and for all of creation. Our Lord sustains it all. It is not as if the Lord just started creation and then walked away. It's not as if the Lord wound the watch or wound the clock and then just let it tick down. It's not as if our Lord took the globe of the cosmos and sent it rolling down the hill and then went off to go do something else. No, our Creator is still involved with His creation, demonstrating His care personally. John Calvin referred to this wonderful doctrine of providence as God not being a momentary creator. He didn't just create and then walk away. He created and sustains it all. This is called providence, which literally refers to God's oversight of it all. For the weak and the frail, for the needy, for the animals, the eyes of all look expectantly to the Lord, and the Lord gives them their food at the right time, in due season. This is the love of our Lord, and note how easy it is for the Lord. You give them their food in due season, you open your hand. The Lord simply opens his hand, and in this, we together are privileged to see the glory of God's providence. Take a look at how this is packaged. Take a look at Psalm 145 and back up to verse 10. Something wondrous is before us. Verse 10, all your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. There's no exception. What shall they speak of? Verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom, and they shall tell of your power. Verse 12, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Verse 13, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. We have a matchless king here. How mighty is this king? He is so mighty, that he is involved in every detail. The falling of a hare, a tower, a sparrow, one of his image bearers. So from this majesty, look at verse 14, the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. In this we see the glory of providence. The one wondrously high cares for those of us famously low. It's a wondrous presentation. From majesty to mercy, from the heights to the depths. I love the way the prophet Isaiah phrased this in Isaiah 57, verse 15. This is what the one who is high and lifted up says. This is the one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. The one who is high and lifted up, whose name is holy, he dwells with the lowly. Charles Spurgeon phrased it well. He who reigns in glorious majesty condescends to lift up and hold up those who are apt to fall. The Lord loves to reverse things. He puts down the lofty and lifts up the holy. The $25 words for this happen to be transcendence and immanence. Those are the $25 words. What do they mean? Distance and nearness, otherness and with-us-ness. This is the glory of God's providence. Now, what is the response to this providence? It's to be a life of praise. We are not waiting and wondering to see if the Lord will be present. Perhaps someday he will show up in a galaxy far, far away. No, he is present. He is with us. And this is seen in Emmanuel. Providence is not simply some doctrine on a page. Providence is that wonderful fact, the wonderful, beautiful reality that our Lord is involved in every aspect, even our fallings. And through it all, he receives the glory. So the grand story of the Creator and Sustainer, it includes the many smaller and still glorious stories of our lives. Stories which include people with names like Olive and Barzillai and C.L. and Marie and those who bear his matchless name. Our Lord is worthy of our praise. May our lives, from this breath to our final breath, be that which declares his majesty. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you through Jesus Christ, who is the exact representation of your nature, worthy of all praise. You have placed your name, his name upon us, and we do pray that we will live lives and speak and think in such a way that you are honored and glorified through our every endeavor, through our every hope. Heavenly Father, thank you for the lessons that you bring to us in such a textured way, even as we trust you for our children and for your care for one another. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your faithfulness, seen in your Son, manifested day by day, hour by hour, by your Holy Spirit. And now we'll trust you as you keep your hand upon us, for we are your sheep, your people, the people of your hand. And we pray this trusting you through Jesus our Lord. And amen.